Welcome in, latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Braden, but today, Shane, I'm Hook'em Mike, and here's everybody's favorite cousin, Cousin Shane, who today he's Longhorn Shane, because he likes the Longhorn Steakhouse. What's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Oh, man, it's time. The time we've all been waiting for, Shane. It's time to just bow down and welcome our new overlords in college football, them Texas Longhorns, Shane. They got the team. They're favored to do it all.
Yeah.
They got God's gift to quarterbacking at the quarterback position. This should be a fun one.
They just they get it all, don't they? They even got the best barbecue down there. You know what I'm saying? I keep getting tagged in every barbecue. You mentioned Longhorn. It got me thinking about food, Mike. But you're right. Everybody has crowned these guys. They're saying 2025. I mean, if you were to poll most, I'm sure when we get down here at SEC Media Days, I would probably say Texas is going to be leading the ballots for who they think will be SEC champions this season. So why not talk about them, Mike?
Oh, not only the favorite, Shane, I think it might be unanimous. I don't know that anybody else is going to get a vote.
Yeah, well, I mean, Longhorn Shane, he's got a vote, right?
for the next couple of weeks, they haven't taken it away from us just yet. You know what?
That's right. That's right. Still surprised we're credentialed. Looking forward to that, Mike. But more importantly, looking forward to a little Texas love today on that SEC podcast.
Yeah, so it's already started, Shane. It's already started. We come in this damn conference. I thought they'd fall flat on their face. Dead wrong again. They went all the way to the SEC championship, went 13-3, made it to the college football playoff semifinals for the second year in a row and lost to them cheating bastard Ohio State. If not for them cheaters, you know, they stole a lot of Georgia players and Ole Miss best player. If they hadn't have done that, Shane, I think it would have been a different story. But, you know, aside from falling just short last year, I think it was a tremendous success coming into the SEC, throwing down that damn gauntlet. There's very little negative you can say about the Longhorns' debut in the SEC.
No, I mean, look at that. You got the one loss against Georgia, obviously the SEC championship. We got to see that one. That was a close game. But I think 2024, there were some people thinking that it could be the year, but people have had this season circled 2025 as being the best year for Texas. And hell, there's some people out here saying the best is yet to come. So yeah, I don't know if we're quite dynasty level yet, but brother, they are starting already.
Yeah, Vanderbilt, too, is a dynasty. All right, let's get to Sarkisian, Shane. I mean, he's kicking ass again. Back-to-back college football playoff appearances. And not only appearances, made it to the semifinals both years, Shane. So this was after, look what Texas was when he took it over. So we're making strides. And then here's his updated record against the SEC, Shane. 1-0 against Texas A&M, 1-0 against Florida, 1-0 Mississippi State, 1-0 Vanderbilt, 1-0 Kentucky, 2-2 against Oklahoma, 1-1 against Arkansas, 1-1 against Bama, and 0-2 against Georgia. So far, a solid start, but you know, if what we saw last year is any indication, this record is just gonna keep looking better and better.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, I mean, it won't be long. We'll be talking about Texas having the home field advantage because of all the victories they keep getting. But yeah, this is I'm looking at it. Sark, again, didn't have the great first 2 years. I felt like it was obviously a transition, but year three, year four, I'm talking playoffs the last two seasons. That's unheard of, man. That's unheard of with new coaches being hired and pretty damn impressive, if you ask me.
Now, let me ask you this, though, Shane, because there's a lot of Texas haters out there. I hate those people, Shane. I've always been a Longhorn at heart. But could you look at his record and say, wow, Mississippi State, Vanderbilt, Kentucky. I mean, who in the hell is this guy beating? I mean, I realize A&M, that was a huge game. Florida finished good, but they sucked. And this, remember, DJ Lagway was out that game.
Yeah.
For the Texas haters, could you look at it and be like, Good Lord. Well, he's faced it on cupcakes here.
Well, if it worked Texas Day, yes. But since it kind of is, I mean, I don't see LSU. I don't see Tennessee. I don't see Ole Miss. You know, there's some teams that have had some pretty good success. Hell, South Carolina, Mizzou, these are teams that have flirted with playoffs. They're not on here. But,
yeah,
you know, I do see some A&Ms. I see a Bama. I see that's about, you know, Oklahoma, if you will. So, yeah, I guess if you were a negative Texas, you could definitely pick this apart. But, man, these 1-0s, they speak volume. I mean, look at the Florida one, brother. That wasn't just a beating. That was a beat down. Texas A&M, same thing. It's like these games that they did get, they weren't just squeaking by either.
Okay. I'm just asking a question, Shane.
Now,
ask me
tomorrow on the Texas A&M show.
Now, great news for Texas, Shane. We got all our coordinators back from last season, excuse me, in the entire time that Sark's been down there in Austin. So maybe the best defensive coordinator, not only in the SEC, but the country, Shane, finally learned how to say his damn name for this show. Pete Kwiatkowski, he's elite. He's one of the best. They stop the run better than damn near anybody in the country, and he's got a loaded unit we're going to talk about here in a minute. And they bring back special teams coordinator Jeff Banks. Well, you may know him, Shane, as the husband of the pole assassin.
No.
You remember that story?
No. I mean, help me out here.
There was a I hope the monkey's still alive, Shane. But so his wife's got monkey.
Yes, okay.
Got out of the cage and
yeah,
all this madness. But her name's the pole assassin. So that's all I know about Jeff Banks. Other than he's an elite special teams coach and a hell of a recruiter.
Now wait, so he's the one that's down there, or his brother? Is that what you said?
No, that's his wife.
Okay. No, I know that, but I'm saying, so he is the special teams coach, correct? His wife is the pole assassin.
Oh yeah. And he's been at Bama. He's been at A&M. He's been all over, and he's,
God, we need a 5-minute quick video one day explaining that situation. Cause I briefly remember it, but it was kind of during a chaotic time. If I can recall. So right. I was just like, oh yeah, just one other crazy story going on. Gee, the pole assassin. Did you ever think you'd be saying that on that SEC
podcast? Every opportunity I get, I say it. All right, let's get to the team, Shane. Returning production on the offensive side of the football for Texas, Shane. 38% of the offense is back. That's 11th in the SEC. Just 21% of the passing yards. That's 9th in the SEC. But hell, no worries, Shane, because we've upgraded. We've upgraded from, I don't even know who we had before, but he was a bum because we got Arch Manning. He's elite, 9 touchdowns, only 2 picks. And really, I'm sure those were tipped, receiver dropped it, what have you, because Arch would never do that himself. 939 pass yards last year. Rushing yards, 67.7 back. That's 6th in the SEC. Trey Wisner was awesome last year, Shane, over 1,000 yards. Jarrett Gibson's back. Arch Manning was actually 3rd leading rusher to return from this team last year. So he's very, very mobile. That's an underrated aspect of his game. Receiving, 28.9%. That's 13th in the SEC. But we loaded up on some transfers that we'll get to here in a second. And then offensive line snaps, 31.3%. That's 13th in the SEC. But we do bring back a returning starter in DJ Campbell. And we've got some major, major talent in the pipeline down there at Austin. So anything stand out to you about the returning production on the offensive side of the football?
Just the best damn quarterback over there in the country. You know, I couldn't see past that green, Mike. I love the comments. They're like, Arch Manning's out here saving cats, curing homeless. I mean, he's doing all kinds of stuff. But that's the one, obviously, that kind of, when you talk about Texas offensive production, that's the name that keeps coming up. But obviously, I think the rushing, receiving, it's the weapons that he has around him. We're going to get to the portal here in a second. A little worried about the offensive line because it's easy to just say, hey, plug and play. But that's my only concern, especially for Arch to have the season that Texas wants. Are we going to have that offensive line production like we've had in the past?
All right, so let's flip it over to the defensive side of the football, Shane. 52.5% of the defense is back. That's ninth in the SEC. We ranked ninth in returning tackles, 55.7%. Tackles for loss, 33.5%. That's sixth in the SEC. Interceptions, 45.5%. That's 12th in the SEC. Passes defended, over 51%. That's 11th in the SEC. Defensive back snaps, over 62% back, which is 10th in the SEC. And then defensive line snaps returning, 37%, which is 12th in the SEC. Anything stand out on the defensive side of the football?
Just a lot of turnover, man. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's what elite programs do, Shane. They get their guys to the NFL. My Lord, they had 12 picks of the draft.
Texas doesn't rebuild. They reload, son.
Yeah, I guess you hadn't heard yet.
That's the only thing. I joke. Again, they're one of the highest ones as far as defensive units bringing back. You know, I love the continuity of the coaching staff, but what does it look like when you don't have continuity on the defensive side? So that was one of their strongest suits last year. How does that bounce back this season? That's the one that stands out to me, just the overall lack of returning production.
Okay. Well, we shored some of that up, though, with the transfer portal, Shane. We did a good job in the portal. 11 guys we brought in, 16 transferred out. They couldn't play here anyway, Shane. So what we did, we bring in so many elite players, like Cal's outstanding tight end, Jack Andrees. He had 56 catches, 623 yards last year, and a pair of touchdowns. Bringing in the defensive lineman, Marin Watson, Shane. All he did was freshman All-American up there at Syracuse. Everybody in the damn SEC wanted this guy. We brought in Emmett Mosley from Stanford. He had 48 catches, 525 yards, six touchdowns. We got Arkansas's best linebacker, Brad Spence, and said, hell, come be a backup in Austin. He said, yeah, come on down. Yes, sir. Mason Shipley, we shored up the kicking game with a Lou Groza Award semifinalist, bringing in some other defensive linemen. One of the best names in all of college football, Hero Canoe. We brought him in. And L. Shane, just bring in a quarterback to boot. We got Matthew Caldwell down at Troy to come hold Arch's clipboard. So, again, not a roster that needed a lot. We just needed to shore up some holes, add some depth, and that's what we do down here in Austin.
Well, what I like about it is just the defensive linemen really stood out to me. I mean, after a season in the SEC, you realize, hey, what's going to get us to the next level? I mean, say what you want. When you're going against teams like Georgia and you saw how they were doing, I mean, you go 0-2 and it gets to be like, hey, I want some Georgia guys. You know what I'm saying? Right. So they go out here and they got some damn 300 pounders. I mean, tons of them here. It's a lot of weight added to that front. And I think that's important for this defense.
Yeah. You need them linemen to get after John Mateer. Nothing runs like a deer is what I heard, but he's going to be running for his life against these damn linemen. You know what?
Hell yeah. Well, you're going to have to run around them. You ain't going to run through them.
And then recruiting, we don't dive a ton into recruiting, Shane, but we got to mention it. They were number one in the country in the recruiting, Shane, mm-hmm. and they just brought in about five stars. So number one safety, Jonah Williams. Number two defensive lineman, Justice Terry. Number two defensive end, Lance Jackson. Number two receiver, Kalik Locke. Lockett, probably butchered that. Number five corner, Cade Phillips. And again, this is just the highest rated guys they brought in. But again, here at Texas, we don't need a ton of immediate impact. So just the best in the country, Shane, can come, sit on a bench, learn, and then maybe in a year or two, they'll dominate college football. You know what?
Yeah, we don't need you now. But, you know, again, there's going to be one or two off this list that make, you know, contributions, obviously. And there's some going to find themselves in the starting lineup, I would imagine, definitely by the end of the season. So, yeah, a lot of talent coming in here. And, you know, it's not like when we were kids, man, you needed 3 years before they're touching grass. You know what I'm saying? Some of these freshmen are damn bigger than us. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I've seen some of them, like, we're talking 10th graders, 11th graders. I'm like, man, this kid, if he wants my wallet, I'm giving it to him, Mike. I ain't fighting him. You know what I'm saying?
They got a lot of them guys down there in Texas.
Absolutely. A lot of them go whoop my ass, you know? It's like, yeah, absolutely, you can have it.
Yep. All right, so let's get into the projected offensive depth chart.
Huh? Before you do that, Mike, we gotta give old cuz JR coming out. I didn't think he'd show up on Texas Day. You know what I'm saying? I was a little worried, but
he had to do something to break up all this Texas talk. You know what?
Absolutely. A little reminder of who Sark's 0-2 against.
So shout out. Let's see. Da-da-da-da. JR, the legend. Everybody knows him by now.
The legend, cousin JR, has done it again.
This time, Shane, it's Krenz with a Z. Krenz,
welcome to the family.
The memberships in this podcast are brought to you in part by cousin JR.
So he's done it again, Shane. We appreciate you, JR.
Thank you, cuz.
Remember, next Tuesday, can't keep track of my days here, Shane. We're doing Georgia for cousin JR. So we appreciate you, buddy.
Yeah, hopefully we can see him down there at media days. I don't know if he's going to be down that way, but it'd be nice to grab a bite to eat with old cuz.
I'd rather talk to him and damn Kirby.
Hell yeah. I mean, Kirby would be kind of fun too, but give me JR anytime, all the time.
Mm-hmm. Unless he's got Kirby's haircut. All right, let's get into the Texas offensive depth chart, projected depth chart here, Shane. And I'm going to rank the position groups again. Wait, you know, this is complete opposite of Ole Miss we did yesterday. What do you notice here? And I've tried to update this a little bit so you can see the transfers a little bit better, but hell, there hardly aren't any. You know what I mean? So a receiver and a tight end project to be starters, but the rest, I mean, this is homegrown talent. I'm ranking the running backs the best position group on the offensive side of the football for Texas, with Trey Wisner back after his outstanding season. We got CJ Baxter who missed last year due to injury, unfortunately, but he's 100%. He's good to go. Jerick Gibson, Christian Clark is another guy that was banged up, but he's got immense talent. So I think we're, not only do we got talent, we got depth. And at Texas, man, we are quickly turning into running back you down here.
Yeah, no, I mean, they are loaded up, and it's going to be a fun, exciting room. That's what I like, too. It's deep. So you're not just relying on one or two guys. And honestly, that was kind of the bad spot last year was this running back, especially with depth. Now they've got plenty of it, so hopefully they'll be fine in that department.
Mm-hmm. And next position group, Shane, I'm going receivers and tight ends because DeAndre Moore, he's a bad man. Ryan Wingo, I've already said it, Shane, bold prediction. I think he leads the SEC in receiving yards this year, so I expect he's going to take a huge step up. Year two in college football for him. Aaron Butler is back after a freshman season. And then we added these transfers, Jack Andrees at tight end, Emmett Mosley from Stanford, and maybe the best collection of freshman receivers in the entire country can – who knows which one of these guys is really going to step up, but I think, you know, bringing in four or five elite freshmen, I think that's a way to, you're going to get at least one or two of those guys to hit.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And that's, again, that we joked about it, but this is one of those programs that have the luxury of having guys hit every single season right now, you know, that they have built quite a pipeline, not just through the transfer portal, but the recruiting class. So every year we're going to be talking about the next grade up, you know?
Right. So, and then next I got quarterbacks. It's hard to quantify it, Shane, because we don't know if Arch Manning's going to win two Heismans this year. Is he going to win three Heismans this year? But again, I don't know what they got behind him either, but give me Arch Manning and basically him alone. We got the transfer Matthew Caldwell, we got Trey Owens from last year, and we got a freshman Carl Lacey, I think is how you say his name. So give me quarterbacks next.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I mean, I probably would have put Arch first just because it's Arch Manning, but yeah, I guess we'd go running backs, then eventually get down to the greatest quarterback to ever suit up in the Texas uniform.
And then offensive line, again, that was the strength of the team. DJ Campbell's awesome. He started 16 games last year, but a lot of talent here, but a lot of inexperience as well. This may be the biggest question mark on the entire football team is the offensive line and how quickly they can get up to speed.
But let me ask you, Mike, on the offensive line side, and again, I know we've got some new faces, new names. How are you even worried? Are you worried about this offensive line at all? I mean, I'm looking at the depth at all the positions, but you know, people are quick and not in hell. I did it too, just pointing out how this offensive line could struggle. But do you worry at all about this offensive line?
Oh yeah. Hold on.
Mike just left. You can't see behind the scenes, but he is gone. All this Texas talk made him sick, I guess. But let's see here.
Yeah, when you got a first-year starting quarterback, I think that's a huge issue, Shane. I mean, how could it not be? And again, I'm not saying they won't make the playoff. I'm not saying they won't be competitive in every ball game. But when you're the favorite to win the damn national championship, and you're sitting here and you're, I can't remember if it was 12th or 13th in returning offensive line snaps, and you lose four starting offensive linemen, no one's going to give a shit if you go 15-1, but the one is a loss because your offensive line can't hold up.
Yeah.
It's going to be, we just wasted $40 million.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I just getting your side of it. I feel like that's going to be the Achilles heel of this offense. Let me ask you, if Texas, we'll get to defense here in a second, but if Texas were to not make it to a college football playoff, it's because of what position group on the offense?
Arch, I would say.
Yeah.
If he's not good. But I have little doubt. I have little doubt that he's going to be like a liability.
I got you.
But if he's a liability, then the whole thing crumbles.
Yeah. Okay. That's, you heard it here first. Mike hates Arch Manning.
And I see someone in the comments. I mean, let's play devil's advocate here. Paul, he says a left tackle, you know, four years. I think he's trying to say he's been in college for 4 years. Right. The left guard, 4 years. But again, he played 81 snaps last year. The right tackle, he says, 2 years, 65. I mean, this is, again, they're number one in the damn country, and we're sitting here, we're trying to find a weakness.
Yeah.
And I'm not even saying it's a weakness. We're just saying it's a question mark.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You know, you look at the past national champions, Shane, Ohio State, Michigan, and of course, we know a lot better, Georgia, but the 2 years prior, you know, Stetson Bennett and Jim Harbaugh and Ohio State's idiot coach, you know, they get the respect, but they win it because they're elite in the trenches.
Yes.
Particularly Georgia. I mean, hell, just look at the damn NFL now is full of Georgia linemen. You know what I mean? So if it's a weakness, and again, I'm not saying they're going to be like the worst offensive line, but if they're like the sixth best offensive line in the country, they may not win it all.
Yeah, it just takes one Saturday, so.
Yeah. But why we go down this road of what they're not going to do, Shane? Because here's what they're going to do. They're going to dominate on the defense. And give me these defensive backs, Shane. This may be the best defensive back collection in the damn country. Sark says this is the best position group on the team exiting a spring practice. I was trying to upload a different depth chart because I forgot one of their defensive tackles. We'll get to the defensive tackle here in a second. But and then at linebacker, Shane, hell, they may have the best two linebackers in the country, Anthony Hill and Colin Simmons. Those guys are so damn good that I'm not saying, you know, Trey Moore and Leafu, I think is how you say his name. I mean, these are like all conference type players.
Yeah.
But they're not even the best two damn linebackers on this damn roster. So, Brad Spence, who was the best linebacker at Arkansas last year, let's just put his ass on the bench because he can't get on the field here. And then again, we go to the defensive line, which they just, all they did, Shane, as they said, after spring, they said, you know what? We got a good line. Maybe we'll get the best line in the damn country. Let's just go get freshman All-Americans and Hero Canoe and all this, and a guy at Purdue that's got 23 starts. Let's just insert them into the lineup. And Shade, again, number two defensive lineman in the country, Justice Terry, out of Georgia's backyard, who Georgia desperately wanted. He's in Austin now, so just a loaded defense. And oh yeah, maybe the best defensive coordinator in the country.
Golly, talk about a name team right here. You know what I'm saying? There's some mouthful here. And if I was a coach, they'd all have nicknames. You know what I'm saying? There's no way I could remember how to say LaFoe and I couldn't do it. I'd butcher it every damn time, brother. But this is a stacked team, and this is probably I just told you they had lack of returning production, but honestly, I know Arch gets a lot of love. Wingo gets a lot of love, but man, this defense should get a lot of love. And especially at defensive front, I'm so excited about what they're going to be able to do. And it's going to make these other guys that you're talking about around them, it's going to make them look better just because they are starting to win some of those trench battles. So yeah, this is going to be a hell of a defense, son.
Yeah. And some people have said, maybe the best, you know, I highlighted the defensive backs. I think they might be the best in the country. A lot of people say the best damn one is Jelani McDonald, who is not even a returning starter. So imagine he's your best defensive back. Then what's that say about you know, how good the rest of the damn team is? You know
what? Yeah, that's a good point, man.
And then we're doing it also, what we're doing everywhere where we know it, you know, if we know what we're doing, we're bringing in transfer kicker because again, we're not having mistakes. We're not having a freshman cost us a national championship. So we're bringing in Mason Shipley from Texas State. He's just 31 or 35 for his career. And then a punter from, I believe from Utah, Jack. Here's another name for you, Shane. Bo Meester, I think is how you say that. So we're shoring up special teams with a couple transfers, a couple pros to come in here and dominate with the pole assassin's husband.
Yeah, the cousins are helping me out here. I'm going to need them. I'm going to be leaning hard on these guys and pronouncing these names throughout the season. So I appreciate you.
All right. So biggest question, Shane, fall camp questions. You know, every one of these with like a big name quarterback, first time I say, hey, are they ready for the SEC? I'm not even going to utter that with Arch Manning because, you know, all jokes aside, with the family he's had, with the upbringing, how they've handled his recruitment, there's been no drama. The only drama I've heard with Arch Manning, Shane, is he lost his student ID once or two times. You know what I mean? Like, God forbid, I believe Shane did that at Tennessee twice, and he was only up there for about 2 weeks. So, I mean, that happens to everybody. There's no drama with this kid. I don't think there could literally be a more prepared quarterback that has only started two games than Arch Manning. So, I don't even know why I'm bringing him up with the questions, just to say I have no question that he is ready for this, for the position he's about to be in.
Also, at all 16 quarterbacks that are in this conference, Mike, is there any quarterback that has more pressure than Arch Manning coming into this season?
Nico? Oh, wait, he's gone. More pressure? I don't know. Maybe I think so. I think Garrett Nussmeier certainly at LSU. He's get his damn coach fired if he's doesn't perform. You know what? I think I understand your question, but I think at the end of the year, I think Lenore Sellers, because if he's not awesome, I think South Carolina will regress. Mm-hmm. I think DJ Lagway, if he struggles or gets hurt, I think his coach is getting fired. So there are other candidates, but I could certainly see why you asked that, and I could see if you want to make the argument that it is Arch Manning. I think that's fair, but I think Arch Manning, based on everything I know, he is for sure coming back next year.
Yeah.
So he wants to be starting quarterback for 2 years, and while there is pressure on him to deliver, there again, if they go like, God forbid, 11-1 or 10-2, I don't think they're going to be running his ass off or anything.
No, I feel like the expectations are really high, and it's so easy to overlook because he's a Manning and he's been living in the spotlight. Hell, I think we even brought up a highlight video when he was in high school. You know, we rarely do that.
I think that was middle school.
No. Yeah, it may have been middle school. I don't know. We knew this kid was coming for a long time, and you know, we kind of put it aside. And yes, DJ Lagway and Lenore Sellers, those are important, but they would like to make the playoffs. They would like to win a national championship. I feel like Arch Manning is expected to take this team to a playoff and expected to, maybe not this year, but shit, I guarantee if you ask anybody, ask these cousins over here, they think this is a good shot to win another national title down there. Yep. And all that kind of, like you said, goes on Arch Manning's shoulders. And if he doesn't perform, then let's say it is 9-3. I think a lot of Longhorn fans would believe that would be a failure this season.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they are literally the betting favorite to win it all.
Yeah, yeah. So, I don't know.
Now, here's a real question I got, though. Speaking of Arch, can they protect him? I think that's the biggest question mark with Ohio State, at Ohio State, with a trip to Georgia coming up, with a trip to the toughest place to play in college football, Shane, the Swamp, coming up. You know, if you have any liability, and all it takes is one player, one liability on that offensive line, Arch could be running for his life as well.
Yeah. Yeah, but hell, he can run too. You know, it's like this quarterback can do it all.
Well, speaking of run, can Texas run when it matters, though?
Yeah.
When the opponent knows that's what you're going to do and you're determined to do it, or you're in the red zone, what have you, can you run? I guess an elite team, I guess a Georgia, I guess a Ohio State, if you know, these teams that you're going to face, that's a big question I have.
Well, it's a question we had last year, and you know, another season of that, then we start saying, do we have a problem here? Because I feel like Texas, to have the success that Sark really wants, he's got to be two-dimensional, and sometimes it felt like we weren't. So, yeah, establishing the run, that's a hell of a question to be answered here.
Yeah, and I believe, again, last year's last year, right? It shouldn't translate to this year, and I'm not putting last year's failures on this year's team, but in the three losses, in fairness, it was Georgia, twice to Georgia and once to Ohio State, Texas averaged 1.4 yards per carry.
Yeah.
That's abysmal. You know what I mean? So yeah. I'm highlighting those games. I'm not highlighting Vanderbilt, Mississippi State. I'm highlighting the key games. Those are the biggest questions. And then on defense, just are they elite on a defensive line? Because that's the same deal. The who you're chasing, Shane, you're chasing Georgia, you're chasing Ohio State. They were elite on the defensive line. You were right there. But I think even the biggest Longhorn out there will say, yeah, Ohio State and Georgia, they had better defensive fronts than us. And that's why we went in the portal. That's why we got these guys. That's why we got this elite freshman coming in, so that we can surpass them. But it's one thing to bring those guys in. Can they do it? They have to do it on the field.
Yeah. I think, wasn't it Rusty that you had on? And he kind of talked about that. Great, great interview. Don't check it out now, but maybe later. I believe that's why they were so aggressive in this portal. And you look at the games, they got, like Rusty says, they got their ass kicked in the trenches. You cannot do that. If it's like you said, if it's one team, it's not a problem, but it's not a playoff winning team. It's not a national championship winning team, because it shows a flaw, and they got to see it twice with Georgia. So, yeah, they went out here and they shored up that problem.
Mm-hmm. All right, so here's the updated look at the schedule real quick, Shane. Like I said, Texas, mighty Texas. I don't know how the hell this makes sense, Shane. The over-under is 9.5, but they're the odds-on favorite to win the SEC. They are the odds-on favorite to win the national championship at 5.5-1, to win the national championship 2.9-1 to win the SEC. Again, if they were in a Big Ten, their over-under would probably be 11.5, or any other conference, 11.5. But we're in the damn SEC, so it's 9.5. But no surprise here. Texas, the favorite, after all this, the buzz keeps growing for Texas, Shane. We're here in June. Uh-huh. I can't imagine what it's going to be like when August hits. I mean, they might be 1-1 to win the national championship.
Yeah, they may not even have to play these games. I don't even know why we're looking at the schedule, Mike. Just tell them we'll see them in Atlanta.
All right, so win, loss, or toss, buddy. Mm-hmm. You ready to play this game?
Let's do it.
I'm trying to do something a little bit different. Let's see if this works. So hopefully this doesn't blow up on us. There we go. I think it's going to disappear quickly here. But so what I've got as should be wins, Shane. Mm-hmm. San Jose stayed at home.
Yep.
UTEP at home. Sam Houston at home. Come on, we'll kill all these teams. At Florida, I think should be a win.
Yeah.
I think Oklahoma on a neutral field.
Yeah.
You know, crazy things, rivalry, but I think if you're a Texas fan, you expect to win that game. At Kentucky, win. At Mississippi State, win. Vanderbilt at home, win. Arkansas at home, win. A&M, come on, 8-4, come on. There, that's a win. So I got 10 games as of today on paper, basically no question, should be wins for Texas. Am I crazy?
Not crazy at all, Mike. I think that's fantastic.
And then I don't have a single game should be a loss.
Mm-hmm.
I have at Ohio State and at Georgia as toss-ups. And if either one of those was in Austin, I may have it as a win too.
Oh yeah, I mean, damn, that's a good point. I'm right there with you. I don't think where it's at would matter as much to me if it were in Athens or if it were at home. I still probably would have that as a toss, Georgia and Ohio State.
Okay. So let's, man, you just got no respect for DKR. It's deplorable, Shane. It really is.
Who?
Their home field, DKR. Got no respect for it. You said it wouldn't be a should be win if it was a home game.
Nah, I mean,
I can't believe you. On a damn Texas preview show. Come on.
All right, we'll put it there.
If I had a bottle, I'd be throwing it at you right now, Shane.
One of the cousins said, well, you know, to be fair, I've never watched a game there. So I can't honestly say home field advantage doesn't exist down there. So maybe I should go down there and watch a game.
Hey, well, we got invited to the box, remember? I don't know if we still are invited, but
yeah, let's do it, man.
All right. So let's run down the schedule, Shane. Week one at Ohio State. And we do these best case scenario, optimistically, you know, maybe a little bit of a homer glasses here, but I'm trying to be realistic too. I don't want to just go 12-0 on every damn schedule, but maybe this one you could. Hell, they're the favorites to win the whole damn thing.
Yeah.
At Ohio State, this is the last game you played. You lost. You know, it's funny how even the damn Buckeyes, Shane, they don't like to admit Texas nearly won that damn game.
Yeah.
They just look at the final score. There was the insane play, the scoop and score. And yeah, it was a 2-touchdown game. But had that not happened, had the right tackle not got whooped, maybe Quinn Ewers makes a play and we win that damn game. I mean, it was that close.
Mm-hmm.
And Ohio State's lost a hell of a lot, Shane. A hell of a lot. And all I hear is chirping from them damn acorns, whatever the hell they are. they're breaking in some new pieces too. So we can sit here and say, well, Texas got the new offensive line, 12 players. It just got drafted to the NFL. Well, Ohio State has some guys drafted too, Shane.
Yeah.
Including their quarterback and all their running backs and a lot of defense. So I'm not guaranteeing Texas goes up there and whoops their ass. But I'm guaranteeing it. Come on, Shane. We're going up there for the SEC. We're beating the defending champs. And already Texas is favored to win it all. Those odds will just get better when they go up there and whoop Ohio State's ass.
You do worry about week one matchups like this. And I think we always do this a few years ago. You remember it was Georgia and Oregon, and we're like, well, I don't know. You know, they're breaking in so many new pieces down here. And
right.
Then they just went up there and whooped some ass. And I'll tell you right now, like you said, Ohio State's got plenty of talent, brother. I'm not knocking it, brother. I got to see what they can do up there. They've got talent. They're paying for that talent. They'll always have talent. But I do think week one is important to have it now because these two teams are going to be almost identical. And when you have an identical matchup, I lean toward coaching. And let's just face it, Sark's 10 times better than what we got up there in Ohio State. So I think we've got us another victory here. And this is kind of the launching pad. Arch doesn't need it, but then we start talking about that Heisman race. this is the one. This is the marquee game that they're going to keep going back. This is also important when we get to the end of the season. We're talking college football playoffs. You may not root for Texas, but when they're trying to, you know, sneak in Indiana because they kept it close with Ohio State, well, we can turn around and say, well, Texas, you know, they beat them by three scores. So that's kind of what I'm hoping three happens scores. Here. Screw Ohio State. We got one Ohio State guy, and I haven't seen him here in 3 weeks. So let's bring his ass back and tell him how shitty that conference is. Come on, Pavia. You and me. I didn't like the Tennessee thing, but I did like the Big Ten comments.
Yeah. All right, now, if this game was played on Sunday, maybe a different story.
Yeah.
Remember all that?
Yeah. Thank God they stuck this in early.
We're not going to waste any time. I mean, San Jose State, that's a pick your damn score, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, absolutely.
And UTEP, too. I mean, come on, get the hell out of here. And Sam Houston, I don't even know what division. I think that's Division One these days, but I couldn't tell you. So where if and again, I think it's more of a toss-up. I don't think it's a 40-point win or whatever you said. I think it's a toss-up. But if we win week one, we're cruising to 4-0, no doubt, right?
Yeah, 4-0. Absolutely. Great start.
Now, the fifth game, that's going to be tricky. End of swap. We'll see how good Florida is. Mm-hmm. Florida will have already played LSU on the road. They will have already played Miami on the road. So, in that aspect, I think this game, schedule-wise, helps Texas. But again, and the fact that you already went to Ohio State, it's going to be rowdy up there. It's, you know, they play at like 10 a.m., though, so it's not going to be quite as rowdy as the Swamp in the middle of the night, you know, like they like to do. But I think this will be the toughest environment that Texas will have faced. That includes Ohio State up to this point. You know, I love the Gators, Shane. I think they're, speaking of God's gift to football, might be the Gators, but I don't think even they have enough to beat Texas. So I'm talking like a 3-point win here. I think this is a really close ball game, but I'm giving that edge to Texas.
Yeah, thank God they had a bye week before this juggernaut, right? Yeah. No, this wasn't close last year. So ain't going to be close this year. This is going to be a beatdown and maybe the start to the downfall of Billy Napier, which kind of already going. But this is one that I feel like Florida wants, but Texas is going to get. So give me a victory here down in Gainesville.
But couldn't you also argue that the motivation will be with Florida? You know, again, this is how you make your program, right? You beat a Texas, and all of a sudden Napier can say, well, we got something cooking. And the two spots that we're most concerned, which again is very little, but the two spots we're concerned with Texas, offensive line and defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
That's where Florida's going to be the toughest this year, offensive and defensive line. So I'm just saying, Shane, I don't think, I know you hate the Gators, all this, but I just don't think it's going to be a cakewalk. I think this really is going to be one of their tougher, maybe the toughest game they face this year.
Well, it just, I can see what you're saying, but which is more likely, Texas to be undefeated at this game or Florida? And I'm going to lean Texas, even not optimistic. I'm not, forget the right, what we're doing here. I'm just saying, realistically, which team is more likely to be undefeated at this moment? You and I both agree it's Texas, right?
Yeah.
So if that loss was to LSU, or if there was a, God Miami. Forbid, another Miami loss, I just feel like the wind will be out of this sail. What's working for Florida Gators right now is the momentum that they have and building off of the last season. If DJ comes out and underperforms, then all of a sudden blood is in the water. And I'm not talking about that New Jersey team that they play. I'm talking about Texas season. They see a weakness and they are going to destroy them. So the best thing that can happen for Florida Gators is to win those four games and come into this matchup. If that were to happen, Mike, I do think it's close. I'm not going to lie, because the Swamp could be jumping at that point, but this is a Texas show, so I'm giving them the Texas love. So give me a victory here.
I'm laughing though, because I think I finally cracked the code on where you're at with Florida. Yeah. You just see it as a massive house of cards. Is, as soon as the wind blows, that some bitch is falling over. I got it. Okay, that makes sense.
You remember that game where it's pushing the quarters, and you're like, if I could just land a quarter right there, this thing is gone. I feel like that's what the Florida Gators are.
Yep. All right, so Texas at this point in time, undefeated, headed into arguably the best rivalry in all of sports, Shane, the Red River Shootout. You know how I love Oklahoma. I think it's going to be a playoff contending type team. John Mateer, speaking of God's gifts of football, I mean, this may be the two best quarterbacks in the damn country coming to Dallas for this game. But Texas will be favored. I don't have any doubt in my mind. Mm-hmm. Texas is going to be favored in this football game, probably by a touchdown or maybe a little bit more. But they always say, Shane, you don't want to be favored in this game. So I hate to do it. Upset City. Texas winning it. Upset Oklahoma fans. Get the damn bastards out of here. Texas marching on to 6-0 to start the season.
Yeah, and I will say this, Mike. It's kind of unfair just how it was played last year. People are, again, we want to make this be one of the marquee rivalry games that we watch, and it will be, I promise you. But outside of Texas and Oklahoma and maybe some A&M, you know, this game's not as appreciated as it will be. Last year was embarrassing, but this year it could be really good, brother. And we're told there's a chance, outside chance, there's a chance that both the teams are undefeated during this. Now, if that happens, brother, we're drinking wax beers, eating corn dogs, and watching the damn things ourselves, brother, because this is going to be a showdown that Texas will win again. So give me Texas with a victory.
Yeah, and you know, House of Cards. We were just joking about that. I think Oklahoma is more of that than Florida, because I don't know how good Venables is as a head coach. I respect him as a coordinator.
Yeah,
but it's just to me, you know, everybody last year. Well, this excuse, that excuse. This, I mean, we can all make damn excuses. Mm-hmm. He's in fucking charge of it, and he's got 2 6-win seasons in 3 years. It's not great. Now, Kentucky, I mean, that's basically like saying San Jose. I mean, come on. I don't care where that game's played. Texas going up there, and unless they pull some damn miracle like they did against Ole Miss, and I don't think there's a shot in hell they do it, I think Texas may beat this team by 24 to 28 points.
Could be. And it also could be like an ugly, sloppy game. I feel like that's what Kentucky's going to try to do is slow some of these teams down and, you know, not saying that it happens, but it could be like the Mississippi State of last year, where they're just kind of like, we're winning, but it's just frustrating to watch. So I feel like that could happen up there, but still give me Texas.
Yeah. And then speaking of Mississippi State, so they're next on the schedule. And keep in mind, this whole month or so, these four games all away from Austin. So that's interesting. That's literally the only interesting I could find here, Shay, because they're going to whoop Mississippi State's ass. Again, they're in the middle of a rebuild. They could be fun on offense.
Yeah.
But even against this defense, I mean, yeah, it was fun last year, or fun, but more competitive, closer than I thought. That was due largely to Texas mistakes. I don't think they'll be making those mistakes with them cowbells. They're going to want to play well so they can quiet the cowbells.
You know, it's not a mistake, Mike. Having Lewis Hookem Segovia in our family. Come on, cuz. Cousin Shay, Cousin Mike, you know the deal. Hook 'em horns. So thank you, cuz, for the donation.
Yeah, thank you so much.
I probably butchered the last name just like I have every other Texas player down there, but I do appreciate you, cuz.
Hook 'em horns.
Yeah, appreciate you, buddy. Okay.
He bought us a couple wax beers, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. But you agree, right? Mississippi State getting their ass whooped?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I can't believe we're still talking about that thing.
Next, we got the mouth of the South, I guess is what we should start calling him, Shay. Diego Pavia.
Oh, buddy.
Coming to town. Again, this will be the first home game in over a month here. Again, Vanderbilt, nice story. I really do think this could be a close game, just the way it closer, I guess is really how I should say it. Just their style of play. They chew up the clock. They eat possessions. But there's no doubt in my mind, Texas winning by 2 touchdowns or more.
No, I mean, this it's fun listening to Pavia get out here and do that. I mean, honestly, we were not talking about Vanderbilt for years, and now we are. So I can't complain that the quarterback's coming out here and making headlines. This is awesome. This is awesome for the program. But one team he really didn't mention in all his rambling was the Texas Longhorns. That one he didn't want to give them any more ammunition, and reason is Texas is going to win that game big. So, yeah, I like Longhorns there as well.
Yeah, well, yeah, he was just speaking of the teams he thought he had his chance against. You know what?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Let's see, South Carolina. Yeah, yeah, South Carolina, we got them.
All right, so now the big game, arguably the biggest game in college football next season, Shane.
Yeah.
Texas goes to Georgia.
Ooh, yeah.
Who got us twice last year, but we're talking some competitive games that went into the fourth quarter. Hell, one went to overtime. Georgia hosting. I still anticipate, you know, it's hard to obviously know what the records will be or anything like that. I think Georgia will be a slight favorite, but just due to the home field advantage, they are elite on that field. Haven't lost since 2019 at home. So that this is a daunting task, but if I'm Texas, I'm looking at this like, hell, if we could beat Georgia in Athens,
yeah,
we can literally beat anybody in the country, anywhere, and we are the pick. We currently are the pick, but nobody will be doubting that we're the team to beat in the country.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a lot of words, Shane, to say them dogs is hell, Shane, especially in Athens.
Oh, buddy.
I'm giving that one to Georgia. I think until we actually see it, I think we got to admit Georgia's got our number.
Jeez Louise, it's crazy. 2019. I mean, there are second graders walking around. It's never long. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're already writing sentences and shit and still haven't. They've never seen a loss down there in Athens. And yes, I think you say some very nice words about them Georgia Bulldogs. But the reason that Sark went out here and got his $40 million team, he built it to beat one team, and that's the Georgia Bulldogs. And I think they've done it. They've got enough big body. This thing's going to come down to quarterbacks, and which one do I have faith in, Mike? Why, it's a Manning. I've never doubted a Manning. So give me Texas breaking the snap, getting the first post-COVID victory down there in Athens, Georgia. And on that note, because I want to list, JR donated $5. He says, if Texas beats Georgia, I'll drop 50 gifted to the next show after the game. Bookmark it, cuz.
Nice.
I may be right. Mike says you just saved yourself 50 gifts because you ain't gonna have to do it. This is optimistic Texas. And Mike says optimistically there's no shot down there in Athens. I disagree.
Yeah. Well, I think between Ohio State and Georgia, they're losing one.
That's fair. That's fair.
And which one would I rather them win? I'd much rather be Ohio State with their damn loud mouths. You know what?
Yeah. If I had to pick one, I would rather it be Georgia than Ohio State. I'll tell you, one of the best, I guess one of the most viewed videos was right after Tennessee got whooped by Ohio State. They still are commenting in there. They just became fans like 2 years ago. You know what I'm saying? They're like, oh yeah, who are we fan of this year? Ohio State. If Texas wins at all, they'll be Texas fans next year. So another shout out to Cousin Lewis coming through, $20 donation. Thank you, cuz. Still waiting for a good date for y'all to come see a game in DKR VIP lounge waiting for you all. Come on, Lewis. Well, we may have to take the man up on this offer, Mike.
So it's Luis.
I will call him Lewis, you know, because okay. No, I'm just sorry. Damn it. I'm just going to stop reading. Sorry. Damn it. Well, there goes our VIP.
Well, speaking of stop reading, Shane, Arkansas is on the schedule next. And, man, again, this is a rivalry too, right?
Yes.
It was pretty close last year, believe it or not. Now, It was on the road, tough environment. We love Talon Green, or as some people call him, Talon. I think if he gets hot, you know, this could be an interesting ball game.
Mm-hmm.
But interesting and winning is two damn different things. So I think Texas cruises in this one, too, by at least a touchdown.
Yeah. Bring that schedule up one more time, Mike. And one of the things that really stands out to me in this Arkansas game, it's still a rivalry. Old people, we still call it a rivalry because we remember when it was. Mm-hmm. But it's sandwiched between Georgia and A&M. You talk about the ultimate trap game. This thing's probably kicking off at 11. You know what I'm saying? They're hungover. This is a sneaky football game because I do like Talon Green. You know, I do think that he is legit, and I believe if he catches fire and he's playing out of his damn mind, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the country. So you can't sleep on this team right here. Sam's bunch will be fighting for their lives at this moment. They got to get some momentum. Big win for them. This is one that they'd have circled for sure, but Texas is going to get them.
Here you go, Shane. Luis, or Lou?
Lou.
Cousin Lou. Shane. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, just go with Lou. That's easier for you. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Lou, I can do.
And then shout out, who was it? Cousin Zane. He said, Shane doesn't speak Spanish. He loves to eat it, but he can't speak it. Right?
I don't. I've got a few things like memorized, but I cannot do it.
All right, so final game, Shane. A&M. And again, last year, playoffs were on the line. SEC championship was on the line. It literally could not have gotten better scripted. I mean, we've been waiting 12, 13 years for this damn game. We finally got it.
Mm-hmm.
And the game was a complete damn dud because Texas went in there and whooped their ass in College Station. A&M, they bitched and moaned, got their way, and they got the game at home. Well, bad news. They got to come down to Austin. They're getting another L in the finale. Again, I think A&M could be really good. Tune in tomorrow for that preview, but I have little doubt that Texas is going to come in here and whoop them.
Yeah, I mean, if you can't beat them in College Station, how are you going to beat them down there in Austin? I don't know if that happens, Mike. I do think the game will be a little more competitive this year.
Yeah.
But, at this point, I mean, at this moment, who knows what Aggies are fighting for? You know what I'm saying? And on the flip side of the coin, I'm projecting that Texas is undefeated at this point. And I'm not saying they take the foot off the gas on one of their most hated rivals, but it is one of those games, like, doesn't really matter what happens in it. This could be one of those situations where they're going to get into the playoffs regardless. So what does that look like, Mike? I don't think that happens. I feel like Texas beats them, but this could be a close game. This could be a really close football game, man, because if there are some players that are banged up that probably would play for a playoff spot, they ain't going to be playing in this game if they don't need them.
Now, I don't think he meant it this way, Cousins, but that's literally the most disrespectful thing that Shane could possibly have said. It was like, maybe A&M could compete if Texas got to sit some guys due to, they're already resting for the playoff, but that's literally doesn't get more disrespectful, but you might be 100% right.
Yeah, I'm all in. I'm optimistic right now.
Hey, Cousin Lou says they got the Berea tacos waiting for you. Now, you want good tacos. Man. There's nowhere better than Austin, literally. And then Cousin Paul says, I wonder if Shane knows this. And do you know this one, Shane, in Espanol? Donde este el baño?
You may be saying something bad there.
No, because I know what it says. Do you have any idea what that is?
No, how do you know what that is?
I speak a little Spanish.
Donde está el baño? What does that mean?
Where's the bathroom?
Ah, no habla español. I do know one. I'll say calor. It is hot. Give me the AC.
All right, Shade. So you got Texas optimistically going undefeated. I got them 11-1. I don't want to spoil any of these, but I've said it repeatedly and I hold firm to it. I don't know if anybody's going undefeated. I really don't know in this age with NIL, with the transfer portal, all across these rosters, there's a spot or two where if injury strikes or a player doesn't step up or a young player isn't ready, I mean, there's weaknesses all across these teams, but Texas 12-0, I mean, I could see it. I could certainly see it. But at Ohio State, at Georgia, it's pretty daunting to win at both of those places. But if there's one damn team in the country that could do it, it will be Texas.
Yeah, and I will say this, Mike, scheduling. That's what people are going to be pointing at. It's Texas schedule. They got blessed with a really nice schedule, and that's why this was almost one of the easiest win-loss tosses that we've had. And, you know, because if you threw an LSU in there, if you threw an Alabama in there, especially at their location, then all of a sudden the schedule gets a little more interesting. Not saying that they won't face these teams in the SEC championship or the playoffs, but this is a playoff team, in my opinion. Now, I'm not just saying that optimistically. I'm just saying with everything that they have, with the schedule that they currently have, there's no reason that this team shouldn't be dancing 3 years in a row. But, you know, crazy things happen. We don't know. Health could become a factor. There's a lot of different factors that could kind of slow your roll. But I think, man, I'm all in right now, brother.
Let me ask you this, though, Shane. If, and again, I'm not saying this is going to happen, but let's say a combination of Florida, Oklahoma, or A&M. So those three teams.
Yeah.
Let's say two of them make the playoff. Uh-huh. Florida, Oklahoma, A&M. I don't think that'll happen. I don't think two of them will make the playoff. Hell, none of them may make the playoff. But let's say two of them make the playoff.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit better, like this. And we know Georgia will very likely be there.
Yeah.
We know Ohio State will very likely be there because their conference sucks.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a reality, and I don't think it's far-fetched, where Texas is playing four teams that make the playoff.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't we say then at that point that maybe this isn't an easy schedule, especially when three of those potentially on the road?
Well, I think the prime example was last year's Vanderbilt. Mm-hmm. You know, you watch a Mizzou game, everyone blasted Mizzou for keeping that game close and barely skating by. But then when they beat Alabama, we're like, well, shit, maybe this is a good football. Yeah, if you could sit here and project how good all these football teams are going to be by the end of the season, well, then you'd be in Vegas, multimillionaire. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You can't just look at these logos and say, this is this and that is that. Brother, we may look back and say, what if Florida was the, what if Oklahoma, you know, became the Oklahoma we thought we were getting? You know, there's a lot of, like I said, speed bumps that could pop up in Texas schedule. But yeah, I can blister the schedule now, but if it turns out those teams are that good, Mike, then we'll just delete this podcast. It never happened.
So. And then the most important games, like, this was a tricky one for Texas.
Yes.
This was the hardest one I've done yet. I say at Georgia. Remember I said, if you can win at Georgia, you can beat anyone, anywhere. I didn't even put Ohio State on here. Again, I know that's a massive game. I'm excited to watch it. But I think it literally means nothing for the national championship race because we'll have that mulligan.
Yeah.
Now, it means something if you beat them, certainly. But it doesn't factor in the conference standing. But here's why I went Oklahoma number two,
mm-hmm.
Texas A&M three, because I think this is so critical. I've said this in the years past, and I've always believed this, Shane. I feel like, I mean, without a doubt, right? Texas is ahead of where Oklahoma and A&M are as programs, right? I mean,
yeah.
Even those fans, I think, if they're being honest with themselves, would admit that.
Yes.
But in college football, that can flip in a damn hurry. Mm-hmm. So, again, if A&M beats Texas next year, it doesn't automatically mean A&M's a better program, but it means Texas has lost that lead.
Yes.
Same thing with Oklahoma. If Oklahoma beats you, hell, Brent Venables beat you 2 out of 3. So again, that doesn't automatically mean Oklahoma's going to win the national championship. They're miles ahead of Texas. But right now, your two rivals, you are ahead of them. I think staying ahead, that's one of the biggest things in all of college football. So that's why I got Oklahoma 2, Texas A&M 3. If you slip up in either one of those, you don't got those bragging rights. And again, you can overcome it. But I think those games are critical. Do you have any dispute with these top three most important games for Texas?
No. Those are the ones that, hell, if you went in their locker room, they got circled. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
two of them, the rivals and Georgia, the one they just can't get for some reason. So, yeah, this is a perfect list right here, man.
Wow.
But way you know go. What? Speaking of perfect, you know who's perfect, cuz?
Horton.
Horton hears you. Gift the membership. Appreciate you, cuz.
Horton couldn't hear you, so he's gifting you a membership.
Yeah, Horton. He has gifted a membership, Shane.
Yeah.
To Cousin Zane. Cousin Hell Zane.
Yeah. Welcome
to the family. He had a hell of a comment earlier, so I'm glad Cousin Zane got that in there.
Welcome yeah. to the family.
So did his brother Dane. Dane comes and says, Florida, gonna drag their nuts across Texas in the swamp. Billy Ballsack.
Yeah, I've told you, Shay, that's gonna be a game right there. I really do think.
Oh man, Zane. Biz Cigar. Oh, let's get. Oh, cuz, look at him. Another one. Thank you, cuz. Appreciate that. Biz subscribed for a while. It was time to join the family. Love your guys' show. Y'all are awesome. Go. I can't read that last word, Mike. What does that say?
Go Gators. Hey, how about for cuz there? After we do Georgia, just like a week from now, yeah, I mean, we do Florida after that.
Right now they're leading, right? I mean, unless we can't do Texas again. Texas, oh, Lou's been donating. Maybe we do Texas one more time.
All right. So anything else, buddy? Maybe any other Texas questions, national championship playoff? Let me ask you this, because I always like to cap it with, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10.
Yes.
How confident are you, if at all, that Texas wins a national championship 1 out of 10?
So like 1 being the highest number or 10 being the highest number?
10 is a high, low. 1 is like, yeah, I don't see it.
7. Here's the thing for me, Mike, and I've said this before. What's the odds of them getting into the playoffs? And I think that's high. I believe yeah. that's really high for Texas.
So it's about you got to make it, making the dance, right? And they got the path, they got the team, they got everything.
So 7 puts you in it. And I feel like once you're in it, you have a chance to win it. Crazy things happen. We've seen some wild playoff games up to this point, and I'm not expecting anything different moving forward. So I'm kind of right there at that 7 spot, 7.5 if I were to be a little bit more.
Right, because here's the thing, Shane. Again, people are waiting for Georgia to slip, right?
Yes.
But they could still be, let's say they're like the third best team or fourth best team in the country.
Yeah.
They could still lose to Texas. They could lose to Bama, who owns them. Mm-hmm. Ole Miss, our buddy Kelly Forrest is Ole Miss preseason number 10. At Tennessee, Florida. Again, they're not going to lose all these games, but
right.
it's not crazy that they go 9-3. Like they went 10-2 last year. Alabama, I know I was just kind of hyping them up, but it wouldn't be crazy if they did it last year. They shot themselves in the foot and they fell short. LSU, yeah. Again, I know you love them, but it wouldn't mm-hmm. be crazy if they slipped. And I'm not saying 6-6. I'm saying 9-3. You know what I mean? Like yeah. all these teams that we perceive as the elite in the SEC, I think is most realistic that Texas is the one that has the most wiggle room, so to speak.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. No, I'm right there with you, man. And if they get the play, the only downside though is if they do get to the playoffs for the third year in a row, but don't capitalize. Then are we calling them the Bills? You know, you know what I'm saying? Like at some point, can you win the big game? We talk about Lane like this all the time. Until last year, he wasn't able to get over Georgia. But, you know, you talk about dream jobs. If you were being honest with yourself, there's like a handful of teams that if they came calling, you would jump through a hoop. Like that's the team you want to be with. And Texas is toward the top, if not the top. Just because of all the resources they have and just the ability to play. But, you know, Sark has that. And if you if you keep making the dance but not winning the dance, I do think there would be a moment when you're saying, and it sounds stupid, it sounds crazy, but then people start second guessing if this is our guy. And I'm not saying Sark, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying Sark is on the hot seat, but damn, I'm a Tennessee fan, and I love Phil Fulmer, and then all of a sudden, Phil stopped losing, winning 10 games. And as soon as he stopped winning 10 games, I was like, I'm ready to get his ass out of here. You know what I'm saying? But right. Then we could win 6 games. You didn't realize how good you have it. It's just when you get so used to a certain thing, you just want to get – you want to be a championship contender. So I'm just
– I tell you exactly how – because this is the most – this is how Texas would handle it.
Yeah.
And they'd be just fine, right? We'd make a phone call. If Sark can't get it done.
Yeah.
Come on, Nick. Nick Saban to Austin. We finally get him. And he now it's a dynasty. Now I'm buying the dynasty talk. That's how they fix it. You know what?
Here's the guy, the only guy to go to 2 playoffs in a row. We're like, well, what if he's not the guy?
All right. So I think that's the place to cut it, Shane. Yeah. We're getting pretty wild here. But yeah, so we'll be back tomorrow. Texas A&M ball camp preview series marches on. Anything else, buddy, before we hop off?
No, that's it, cuz. That is it.
All right, so we appreciate each and every one of you. We'll catch you same time tomorrow.
All right, see you guys. Hook 'em.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.